You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
It is indeed, and I caught up with Zoe this morning to talk everything from fires to the debate about the Indigenous heritage of a man that we have deemed inappropriate. I served a couple customers from Adelaide at the restaurant that I work at the other day, and they said that like they woke up one day and some smoke had come up to their end.
Yeah, yes. So we had some pretty significant fires just before the end of the year, and then in the past we've had the Kangaroo Island fires, and then wind bringing all that smoke across to Adelaide. So the air quality hasn't been great in Adelaide. I personally just haven't stopped sneezing for what feels like 3 weeks. In saying that, though, I think Victoria are getting their air quality has been hazardous for a very long time.
I mean, on that topic, I told you I'm coming to Melbourne this weekend. Do I need...
Very exciting.
It is exciting, but do I need an air mask? My mum wants me to pack one.
In all seriousness, I think maybe packing one if you had one already, but also maybe grabbing one when you're in the state as well couldn't hurt. Although
yeah,
we have seen some rain and some cooler weather, which did bring the air quality down from hazardous to good in Melbourne yesterday. But it is this really surreal new reality that, especially in Victoria, I've seen some people tweeting about how they've had discussions with their kids on how they're going to decorate their P2 masks. And it's this really surreal reality that we're all facing. And, you know, how what's the future going to be like if this is what it's like now?
Climate change babies, eh?
Yeah, and it's been a really, as I said, like a tough start to the year, especially in the past week. We've seen so many disruptions, especially across Melbourne, sporting, everything from sporting events. I mean, the horse races got cancelled, which I think is probably a good thing. And we've seen, you know, this videos of tennis players collapsing in coughing fits, and stats and things like the air, breathing in the air is the equivalent to a packet of cigarettes a day.
There being, widespread protest, is it sort of reinvigorating a form of consciousness about climate change in Australia, do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's a weird silver lining because I was at the rally in Adelaide on Friday, and thousands of people were there, hundreds of thousands of people were there, you know, blocking off the entire main street of Adelaide. And it has brought this issue to the forefront of so many minds now. Maybe even people who weren't quite as convinced, so to speak. It's, you can't not be convinced when you are struggling to breathe and you're also watching so many communities and people suffer horrific, you know, loss of life, loss of animals and property. It's hard to not... It's so in your face now that it... even more so has brought it to the forefront of everyone's minds, and I think especially to some who aren't convinced, but just not the government, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, before we get to that, just on that note about it being at the forefront of the general public's mind, you know, there have been Aboriginal Australians talking about the destructive impacts of climate change for years. Do you think this issue is sort of leading to more visibility of that fact?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, our Indigenous people who own this land, you know, they've been dealing with these things and have so much more understanding of the landscapes and their country than colonisers have been in the past, I think, 200 years. It's really interesting to see now that there is a large voice and community that want to be able to put this care back into their hands because they understand it so much better. And it's so true, like, since this country has been colonised, climate change has, and it's so much more evident with these fires, is absolutely ruining this country and their home and their land, and it's really devastating. But it has definitely brought a lot more visibility to that issue.
Yeah. Obviously, one of the biggest things standing in the way of handing that care back to the hands of Aboriginal people is, at the moment, Scott Morrison. what's happening in terms of public reception of him. You mentioned he's declined in the polls. Do you think that's just because he's an idiot, or what's going on there?
Yeah, so as you would all know, he was sort of in Hawaii at the start of this issue, and has come back, and there's been videos of him out in communities, you know, forcibly shaking people's hands. There's videos of firefighters, I'm sure you've all seen them, videos of firefighters essentially pulling up to news crews and having their word and saying their piece about Scott Morrison. There is a huge dislike for him at the moment in terms of his response to these fires. Not even really, I mean, on a climate change issue as well, but also on just a general leadership of the country during a crisis. This is the worst bushfires, you know, we've seen in such a long time, and just to have a leader that isn't showing that leadership is absolutely the reason why his popularity has declined in the polls. So the Labor leader is now more popular. However, the Liberal Party, Scott Morrison's Liberal Party, is still the preferred party, but Scott Morrison isn't the preferred leader, which maybe comments a little bit on the Australian tool poppy syndrome. We associate a person a lot with issues, and so it makes sense to me that Liberal would still be the preferred party in the polls, because Australians definitely like to put a lot of energy into disliking someone and blaming someone.
Yeah. Wow. And so even if there is, you know, increased invisibility of the devastating effects of climate change, do you think it will actually translate into a shift in policy?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've seen Scott Morrison finally kind of give funding to our firefighters. So if you don't know, our firefighters, especially the CFS, are volunteer-based, and they don't have any funding from the government that was cut. So he's given funding to them now, but he's actually taken that out of the National Disability Scheme, which is already a completely underfunded, underappreciated scheme as well. So in saying that, this change of policy has also brought devastation amongst another group of people. So it's hard to see any future. I mean, I feel like we have just sort of come out of this period where the fires have been awful. You know, people are just sort of giving what they can, donating, giving their time, trying to spread awareness, trying to help friends and family who are involved in these fires. And I think when the dust settles, so to speak, hopefully then this country can start to have a real conversation around climate change policy, funding policies for firefighters, and trying to look to the future. Because, I mean, if this, we've got till, I think, March, April is when this fire season ends, and then what, it just happened again in August, like it was starting in August this year, last year already, so it's not much time to think. So hopefully when the dust settles, we can actually really have a real conversation about this.
Yeah, kia ora. So we'll finish on the last topic that you wanted to chat to me about today. Tell us a little bit about who Bruce Pascoe is and what's happened to him.
So just a reminder that this sort of situation was happening whilst all the fires were happening. So it was a really unusual move from Peter Dutton to sort of bring this up at a time where the country is going through an absolute crisis. But Indigenous author Bruce Pascoe was, he had a letter sent to essentially questioning his Indigenous heritage, right? He's been fighting the fires this whole time, and then a businesswoman by the name of, her name is Miss Cashman, she sent a letter to Peter Dutton, essentially allegedly saying that Bruce was claiming to be Indigenous in order to reap the quote-unquote, you know, benefits from that, which is a really hurtful statement. And then so Peter Dutton decides to refer this letter to the Australian Federal Police to investigate whether Bruce Pascoe was lying about this or not. This also brought a call to register, I can't even say this, have a registry for Indigenous people, which is such, like, I'm trying to be unbiased here, but, I mean, registering a race, could you, and in this colonial country, we've invaded this land, and we want to, you know, there's these calls to register Indigenous people. What a disgusting, slippery slope that is. I mean, if history has taught us anything, it's something that we should not be doing. But Peter Dutton and Ms. Cashman, you know, wanted to sort of do this around this situation of Bruce Pascoe, and it's all very messy. Bruce Pascoe says that he is very hurt after this incident, and also he had been in his home fighting these fires as well, so he's also going through this absolute catastrophe in his own life, and it's really devastating to see. We have seen calls though from Ken White, who is the Liberal Indigenous Minister, sort of say that this is super unnecessary, really not okay. We've also seen Bill Shorten, who I learnt was the Indigenous Affairs Minister for Labor, also saying again, this is very unnecessary, super awful, hurtful, and also the entire concept of trying to register a race is quite vile.
And just as an outsider, it sounds to me really comparable to the tactics of apartheid South Africa.
Yeah, yes, yeah, really scary stuff.
And furthermore, for a country who is still failing to recognise the authority of their Indigenous people, it seems odd that they're more caught up in debating the Indigenous position of one particular person.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said it perfectly. You know, Mr. Pascoe doesn't know this woman who's sort of written this letter to Peter Dutton. It's just really weird. It's hopefully, it seems like it's settling right now. I'm really glad it didn't become so much of a national debate either.
Also,
people just seem to realise that this is actually quite silly.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.